Chapter 3. As Tom glanced through his notes, he was aware that around him on the plane people were getting on with everyday things, like dozing with their headrests back, reading newspapers or books, and the woman across the aisle was manicuring her nails a vibrant red and bouncing her foot to the rhythm that only she could hear through her headphones. Normally Tom would have been checking his notes for the meeting, worrying if he'd missed anything, or taking the opportunity to get a bit of extra rest. Now he felt different, somehow more aware of what was going on around him, more engaged with the future, and not just his immediate tasks. Reality had somehow changed, and he was really starting to see things differently. He wasn't sure where he was going, but he knew it was a journey he was ready to take. "I really can't believe my luck," he thought. "This is just what I needed." Seeing that Michael was still reading, Tom stood up and stretched his arms over his head, rolled his shoulders, and decided to take a walk. He set off up the aisle, and as he passed through from business to economy class, he could see that the entire plane was full, that there was not one spare seat to be had anywhere. Where he had been sitting had been quiet and very comfortable. Here there was a lot more noise, the underlying hum of the engines, the rise and fall of conversations. And yet he didn't feel irritated by it like he usually did. He was grateful for the chance that had moved him up to travel at the sharp end of the plane, and thought that the attendant at the gate had been absolutely right when he said that he had the second best seat. Being in 1B really was a much better way to travel. As he strolled up the carpeted aisle, he was observing what was going on around him, but in his head he was still engaged with what Michael had told him. He could see that "I believe" was something that he too might be able to use to make the break that he'd been thinking of for so long. When he reached the back of the plane, he saw the stewardess preparing to bring a drinks trolley back towards him, so he turned round and headed back to his seat. Michael glanced up as he arrived and smiled as he saw Tom take his notebook out of his jacket pocket. "Well, I can see you're ready to start again," he said. "Only a few are," replied Tom. "I've been thinking about what you've said, and thinking how lucky I was to be sitting here." "You believe in luck?" Michael asked him. Tom sized him up, wondering if he was being serious. "Of course I do. It's luck that makes all the difference between success and failure. I was lucky to get the seat next to you. Without that, I wouldn't be having this conversation." Michael drew a large tick in the air with his finger. "Yet again, you've hit on one of the elements of I believe." Tom laughed. "Now that may have been luck." "So it is luck, after all. That's the L in I believe, isn't it?"
"It certainly is one of them," agreed Michael, "but not in the way that you probably think. Luck can't be discounted, of course, but it also can't be relied upon. No successful entrepreneur makes a fortune by relying on luck alone. You have to make it work for you."
Tom was looking puzzled.
"You don't think it was lucky that I was sitting in the one seat on the plane next to the man that could help me see how to move forward?"
"No, I don't," replied Michael. "And let me tell you why. Yes, you got the seat next to me, but that was no guarantee that we would have this conversation. What was it, do you think, that started the ball rolling?" As Tom continued to look unsure, Michael helped him out. "It was my seeing that you were reading Think and Grow Rich that started it all. I was intrigued to see you reading it, and that told me something about you. It told me that you were looking to make your life better, and were prepared to stretch out to reach it. Now, you may call that luck, but if you hadn't already bought that book and started to read it, I probably wouldn't have taken the same notice of you. You remember that I said to you how important it was to sow a seed of opportunity every day?" As Tom nodded, he continued, "Well, that book was your seed for today. You create your own luck by networking with influential people, and that book, and your decision to read it, gave you that opportunity. Do you agree?" Tom nodded. "In theory, yes, but I have a question for you. Wasn't it luck that it was you sitting next to me, and not someone who wouldn't have been interested in what I read?" Michael shook his head firmly.
You could look at it that way, but in my view, luck is the crossroads where opportunity and preparation meet. In order to get to that crossroads, you need to create opportunities and do all the right preparation. If you do that, then you could say you're going to be more lucky than most. But if you don't create those conditions, even if you get a lucky break, you won't be prepared to really exploit its potential to the full. If a great business opportunity comes along, but you haven't done your homework and know all the angles inside out of what you're going into, then all the luck in the world won't help you pull it off. He pointed at Tom's notebook. From your notes in there, you'll see that we've already talked about how important it is that you continue to learn, read, ask questions, watch trends, and think of how to create connections that only you can see through your map of the world. You don't find opportunities by sitting at home watching TV, and you don't make a million by being lucky. The harder you work, the more you create your own luck. Michael watched Tom's face as he absorbed what he'd been hearing. What I'm saying is that you can't rely on it. You have to keep sowing those seeds every day and see which ones come up. In life, good follows bad. Things go in cycles, and you have to keep going no matter what. Think of how farmers approach their business. Every year they sow their seeds, and they don't know in advance which seeds will grow and which will fail, which year will be a great harvest and which will be a terrible one. Whatever the outcome, they go on year after year persistently sowing those seeds. You see, there's such a thing as cause and effect going on here. You told me that you've been reading business development books for quite a while and that nothing has happened. Well, actually, you were like the farmer, and finally this seed has come good. But if you'd got disheartened and stopped buying and reading those kind of books, then we wouldn't be talking together now. Now do you get it? Yes, I do, and I'm really glad I did keep on going, Tom finally responded. I just always thought that very successful people had more luck than I did. But what you're saying is that they worked harder to make the luck happen. I'm no stranger to hard work, though. In my job, I couldn't do any more than I do now, and yet that lucky break still eludes me. Michael's look let him know that he still hadn't got it. Now look, Tom, you have to stop thinking as an employee. This is not about your job. It's about how you approach your life, your future. You need to start thinking like an entrepreneur, and that means focusing on what you're passionate about, what you want to change in your life, and being totally honest with yourself about what you really want. Luck is only one of the elements of the L in I believe. The other L is lies. Because to be a successful entrepreneur means there's absolutely no room for lying. Feeling a bit stung, Tom quickly retorted, "Are you saying I'm dishonest?" "No, at least not in the way you think. What I'm asking is how honest you are with yourself about what you want and what you're prepared to do to get it. Believe me, Tom, I'm not questioning your general honesty, just asking you to realistically look at how much time, energy, and commitment you're willing to give in order to create lasting success. It's not about lying to the world and telling them that you're definitely on course to achieving your goals. It's about being totally, brutally honest with yourself and knowing when you're really telling the truth and when you're making excuses, because actually you're not 100% committed to making it happen. Entrepreneurs have to be honest with themselves if they want to create lasting success. It's about your personal integrity, and that's something you don't want to compromise if you want to be true to yourself. Tom had been leaning forward to catch every word, and now he let a breath out and sat back. He knew Michael wasn't attacking him, just making him really question himself. He hadn't been forced to think so much about himself and what he really wanted for many years, and although it felt strange, it also felt good. "I hope I'm completely up for it. I never realized how much I wanted things to be different until I started talking to you." "I hate to tell you this, Tom, but hoping for it to happen just isn't enough. You know, we shape our destiny by our decisions. Taking the attitude of what will be is not what successful entrepreneurs do. They know what they want, and they go about making it happen by taking dramatic action and lots of it. It's another old cliché, but still true, that life is not a rehearsal. You don't get a second chance to polish it and make it right. You just have to take a risk and go for it. Hope won't do it for you. You're the one responsible for making it happen, and if you stay true to yourself and treat others with respect and trust, then you reap what you sow. What you put out there always comes back, so you need to really think about what impact your thoughts and actions will have. Okay, I can see that, and I'm totally willing to do what I have to do to make things happen. Tom sounded eager, but still not completely sure that he understood how to move forward with it. What do you think is the biggest change I need to make? Michael thought for a minute. Get into the good habit of being totally honest with yourself about what you're doing and why you're doing it. Don't let yourself worry if nothing seems to be happening immediately. Just keep on being positive and doing all you can to network and leverage your opportunities. Out of those habits, you can create the opportunity to make yourself into that entrepreneur that I think you really want to be. It's really about committing to myself and my idea, isn't it? Yes, Michael agreed. That, and realizing that lies and luck don't work. So what does work? Tom wanted to get to the bottom of it. Well, you'll just have to wait and see. Michael gestured to the aisle where Olivia was approaching them with menus tucked under her arm. Looks like we have to think about what we want to eat. And you have some notes to write up, don't you? Tom turned to a new page and started to gather his thoughts. Tom's notes. L. Lies and luck don't work. Luck. Entrepreneurs create their own luck. Luck is the crossroads of preparation and opportunity. The harder you work, the luckier you become. You must read, ask questions, watch trends, and network to create luck. New opportunities do not come from sitting at home watching TV. You need to get out and create lucky breaks. Remember cause and effect. You must sow the seeds of opportunity every day to reap the benefit in the future. Lies. You must be brutally honest with yourself as an entrepreneur. The only excuses are the ones you tell yourself. Hope is not good enough. Action is what matters. You must have honesty, integrity, respect, and trust. You cannot build lasting success without it.